I will try to give an overview of the developments of the ideological and organizational developments of the far right organizations in the Netherlands over the past two decades, and discuss how over the course of these decades their ideas came to dominate the political establishment in the Netherlands. I will touch upon many issues because I'm trying to give an overview of this development. If you want me to talk a bit more about some of the things I mentioned, just ask me in the Q&A or afterwards. Despite coming from a small country, the far-right leader, Geert Wilders, has received a disproportionate amount of international media attention and has also played a prominent role in trying to forge a European far-right alliance. I hope I can give people here a better understanding of the strange ideological mix and the development that Wilders and his party went through, as well as the particular circumstances in which he came to the rise. Now, I will not try to focus so much on the extreme right, as in the Nazi or fascist groups in the Netherlands, because they have always been very marginal. Some recent developments, however, force me to say a few words about them, which I will do in the end. But to start off with, let me mention two main differences that I think we can see with the new far right, if we may call it that, in the Netherlands, compared to traditional fascist movement, but also compared to many other far right parliamentary parties in Europe. First of all, the ideology of the Dutch far right really incorporates certain liberal ideas. And this is probably one of the only ways in which it could develop and blossom in the Netherlands. And it does it so mostly in words, such as claiming the equal rights for the LGBT community and the equal rights for women. And it uses these as a stick to hit Muslims with. Secondly, the Dutch far right has been characterized, even today, by very weak organizational structures. It does not have any local organization. It does not have any street organization. And I'll talk a bit more about this in the end. Now, to take a step back two decades ago, the new far right in the Netherlands really jumped onto the political scene at the beginning of this century with Pim Fortuyn, the Hautain elitist, but also very charismatic politician who was killed in 2002. In the 90s, this former Marxist became very prominent on TV and in the media as a political commentator, combining proposals for neoliberal social economic policies with a very conservative cultural pessimism. Like others, he was very much influenced by the clash of civilization doctrine, seeing the Islam as anathema to democracy and Western Dutch values. In the Dutch identity he wanted to protect, or in a way maybe also created, equal rights for women and homosexuals had a very prominent place. In part also because he himself was openly homosexual. He was really flaunting it and was very open about it. And Fortuyn did not attack Muslims as an ethnicity. He really made sure to not attack their migrant status or their ethnicity, but to attack their culture or their religion. And he called this culture backward, of course. And in this tradition, in this new tradition, I think, which we see across other parts of Europe as well, culture or religion replaces race. But this is a very important step ideologically in the Netherlands, to be able to distinguish themselves from the previous far-right organizations and biological forms of racism. In practice, of course, the distinctions fade and are indistinguishable. Culture is also assumed to be something that does not change, and people's actions stem from their culture, according to this tradition, just as people's actions stemmed from their race in previous traditions. But ideologically and propaganda-wise, this was an important step. also he embraced parliamentary democracy and supported Israel, also a mix which, of course, was a rather new development. And now with this image of defending the liberal, tolerant Dutch culture against the barbarians at the gates, he was also able to attract quite a number of people who considered themselves progressives, people from the who grew up in the 70s, for instance. Now, combining this with an all-out attack on the complacent multicultural progressive elites, he was about to cause a landslide in Dutch electoral history. He was leading the recently founded Leefbaar Nederland, Livable Netherlands, but he proved too right-wing for them because his proposals to eliminate Article 1 of the Dutch Constitution, which prohibits any form of discrimination, he wanted to erase that, so he was able to treat Dutch Moroccans differently. And other than that, he also had the statement that the Netherlands was full, that we had to have a full stop on migration. This got him kicked out of the party 2 months before the elections in 2002, after which he founded his own party, which was very successful, and he was very proud to announce that his contacts in the real estate business promised him 8 million guilders, which is about 3 million euros in today's money, to fund his party. Probably because of his mix of neoliberal proposals. But then 1 week before the elections, famously, Fortuyn was shot and killed by a left-wing environmental activist. Now, everyone who had so far called him a racist was now deemed to be responsible for this murder by his supporters. And this made the criticism of the far right in the Netherlands very, very difficult. Now, his party continued in the elections 9 days later, and they received 15% of the votes. But they soon collapsed due to organizational incapacity and inexperience. And this was a recurring event in the Dutch far right in the years following. All the groups and people who tried to claim his legacy and fill the void in some way or other collapsed or started to fight with each other. But in the end, Geert Wilders, the guy, the blonde-haired guy you probably all know, succeeded very successfully in filling this void. Now, Geert Wilders worked for the right-wing liberal party, or the center-right liberal party, VVD, in the 90s. And in the early 2000s, he was still criticizing Fortuyn for not distinguishing between Islam in general and fundamentalists. But together with Ayaan Hirsi Ali, the Somalian woman who now migrated to the United States and is married to Neil Ferguson, the historian of empire at Harvard, he developed his own version of cultural racism towards Muslims. And in 2004, he left the center-right VVD to found his own party in 2006, which is called the Freedom Party. In these years, Wilders was still very heavily influenced by neocon thinking from the Americans and was very supportive of Bush. In the Netherlands, he was supported by the Dutch Edmund Burke think tank. And this program attacked the progressive elite, big government, multiculturalism, and the EU bureaucracy. The EU bureaucracy as a big state. His free market thinking included anything from low taxes, eliminating the minimum wage, anything basically to make government smaller. And this program, he was very much aligned him with the American far right. And after a speaking tour there, up till today, he has very good contacts with them, and he's also funded by American right-wing organizations, including some Israeli organizations as well. Now, at the same time in these years, the anti-Muslim sentiment in the Netherlands grew. In 2004, a prominent Dutch TV figure was murdered, a political murder similar to the one 2 years before, but this time by a Dutch Moroccan. In the following years, attacks on mosques and also directly on Muslim people increased, and especially attacks on mosques are now a common occurrence in the Netherlands and are very often not mentioned in the news anymore. But in 2006, major left-wing mobilizations turned the Socialist Party into one of the biggest parties in the Netherlands. And Wilders at this time was very small in the polls. He was actually losing because what was dominating was the socio-economic issues. In these years, he tried to radicalize his racist slogans, and I will mention just a few of them, and he made this his really his prime issue. For instance, he called for the banning of the Quran, making the use of the Quran in your own house illegal. He spoke about his wish to deport tens of millions of Muslims from Europe. These are his literal words. And he was calling for the shooting in the kneecaps of young Dutch Moroccans, whom he called street terrorists, and so on. Now, in 2010, there were elections again, and this time still the socio-economic issues were the real issues that were deciding the debate. And here, Wilders completely reversed and changed his socio-economic program. From a neoliberal program, he turned into something which we may call welfare chauvinism. He now argued for the defense of the welfare state, against the raising of the pension age, and so on. But he mixed this with his racist vision, and he gave white Dutch people the choice, the explicit choice, between the welfare state on the one hand or an immigration country on the other hand. Islam was not now one of the problems as it was before, but it was the main problem. It was the root cause of all other problems. And this strategy worked very well. He received 15% of the votes and was able to join the government. He was not officially a member of the coalition. He did not have ministers, but they had an agreement whereby he supported the government, the coalition, in their plans in return for measures that he could push through. And here he supported the neoliberal austerity measures and completely betrayed his socio-economic program, which he tried to lure people into voting for his party, in return for many anti-migrant measures. Now, this betrayal of his socio-economic promises did not seem to hurt him anymore at all. Overall, I think we have to say that Wilders succeeded very much in stabilizing and consolidating his voter base. Now, as to the recent developments in anti-fascist circles, for many years now we have been discussing and debating how to judge Wilders. Was this a fascist movement that was coming into being? And the answer was always no, mostly because it was very much a parliamentary group focused around one person without any serious local organization. And the latter is still the case. His fear for any organizational incapacity or the groups falling apart like before him, and this fear to lose control, is so big that it is still not possible, for instance, to become a member of his party. He is the only member of the party. Even the people in parliament are not members of his party. There are also no local organizations at all. They don't have any publication except for his website. But in the past years, and this is very dangerous, Wilders is taking new steps. Firstly, as you all know, he, together with Marine Le Pen, has been trying to forge a European far-right alliance. And he now cooperates with groups that in previous years he criticized for their anti-Semitism, but now he doesn't mind anymore. Secondly, domestically, he is slowly but surely trying to be more than a parliamentary party, becoming more and more militant. For instance, his Freedom Party organized a tour of resistance against mosques, and in a recent speech, he let his crowd, the ones who voted for him, shout, do you want more or less Moroccans? And then they were shouting, less, less, less. And he said, we will make this happen. But the party also organized its first ever mass protests. Which is a very big step, very different from what they had previously been. And thousands of people came to The Hague, the capital. Moreover, all Dutch fascist and Nazi groups, which are small but still, showed up. And when confronted with this fact, Wilders refused to distance himself from them. And in the most extreme move so far, maybe I can say a bit more about this in the discussion, Wilders supported recently the protests of an extreme right group, Pro Patria, that wanted to march into a migrant neighborhood in The Hague because the neighborhood was supposedly under the control of ISIS. But he openly called out for this protest. Now, all in all, the Freedom Party is a nationalist party that tries to defend homogenous Dutch culture and wants to enforce this via the power of the state. In other words, it is still aiming for power through parliament, but more and more it's taking steps to increase its power on the streets as well. For us, it's an open question how this will develop. But at the same time, the centrist parties in the Netherlands, as in most countries, are masters in adopting and co-opting radical ideas. It's now the Labour Party, for instance, that is proposing to stop welfare checks to people who don't speak Dutch well enough. Almost all parties, including the Socialist Party, which is linked to Syriza and Die Linke, have in the past years participated in racist blame games towards Dutch Moroccans. And even though there are, at the moment, there is no parliamentary party in the Netherlands that is willing or able to fight Wilders. The Socialist Party criticizes him for his socio-economic points, but ignores his racism. The main anti-fascist and anti-racist struggles in the Netherlands are currently waged by migrant groups themselves and the self-organization of people of color. The road, however, is very long and sadly obstructed by the entire political spectrum in the Netherlands. That's all I have to say for now, but I think we can have many discussions about this. Thank you.